Well, as I've shared with you, I'm excited about being able to get into this a little bit. Those of you that have grown up in churches where the gifts of the Spirit were practiced and operated, you have a little bit of an idea about what this is going to be. I think there are a number of you here, though, this morning that are also thinking, what is he talking? He keeps talking about these gifts of the Spirit. What is that? I don't understand what those things are. Why is it that the Bible talks about gifts? Well, these are not the only gifts that the Bible talks about. As a matter of fact, Paul writes about three specific types of gifts that God gives the church and gives the people. You can look these up later. As I've always said, this is all online, so you can check and make sure that you're following along after we're done. The first group that Paul writes about is in Ephesians 4. He writes about the ministerial gifts, and these are the gifts of those within the church who operate. And the gifts are this: there's the apostle, there's the prophet, there's the evangelist, there's the pastor, and there's the teacher. Those are the five ministerial gifts of the church. Those are the ones that operate within the church to enable the church to be able to function in any number of ways. Somewhere down the road, we'll talk about those, and you can read about those in Ephesians 4. The second set of gifts that Paul talks about are the service gifts of the church. This is found in Romans 12. Now, one of the interesting things about this is you begin to see some of these lists overlapping with each other. That doesn't mean that they're being redundant or he forgot what he was talking about and accidentally wrote that down and you should have gone, I already said that one. I should pull that one out. That's not. They operate in different ways. And the gifts of the service or the gifts of grace, Paul calls them, are these. There's prophesying, there's serving, there's teaching, there's encouraging, there's contributing, there's leadership, and showing mercy. Those are the seven gifts of service or the gifts of grace that Paul talks about. We're not looking at those. What we're going to talk about specifically are the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that are given to us. And we read these in 1 Corinthians 12. If you have your Bibles, turn to that. And again, I say this all the time, but I'm not lying to you. If you don't have a Bible or not one that you want to bring, tell me. I'll get you one for nothing. Free. I'll get you a free Bible. All right? So you just need to let me know. 1 Corinthians 12. And Paul's writing, and we talked about this in some of our background information. We had talked about why Paul even wrote this book to the church at Corinth, if you remember. We talked about why the gifts are important and what the purpose of them is. And now we begin to look at them all individually. But these are the gifts that he talks about, starting in verse 7. He says, now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. Remember, we talked about that the gifts are not important over one another. The gifts are given for the good of the church and for the good of what it is that God wants to do. And then he lists them. He says, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. There are nine of these gifts. And each and every one of them, Paul says, one of the most important things you need to understand is not one of them is more important than another. The thing about these gifts, though, is that they're broken down themselves into three different categories. You follow me on this? I'm just making sure you understand what it is we're looking at, because as I begin to break these down for you individually, I want you to see the whole picture. But the nine gifts are themselves broken down into three different groups. The first group is the gift of revelation, and there are three of them that fall within that category. The first one is the words of knowledge, which is what we're going to talk about this morning. Then you have words of wisdom. And then you have discerning of spirits, which means being able to tell whether something is truly of God or if it's not. That's a gift, and it's an important one. The second group then is the gifts of speech, the way that God allows us to be able to speak. There's speaking in different tongues, there's interpreting the tongues, and there's prophecy. Those are the three gifts of speech. The last one then is the gift of power. And the three gifts within that are faith, healing, and the working of miracles. Those are the nine gifts. Now again, Paul says, don't get so concerned about what it is that you do. That's not what's most important. Because some of these gifts are things that are done in public. You actually see the person or you hear them. Many of these gifts are for private use. In other words, I will go to somebody just one-on-one and say to Daniel, I've got something I'd like to share with you that I think is from God. That's not something everybody's going to hear. But if you speak with a different tongue, people are going to go, wow, what's that about? Wouldn't you? If you've never heard anybody do that before, speak in a language that they do not know, but they're given by God the ability to do it for a particular reason. That's something that's going to raise some questions. Paul says, listen, don't be concerned about that. Because here's what he says throughout all of that, and if you heard when I was reading, he always says it's given by the same Spirit. So it is God that gives the gift to each person the way that he wants to, for the purpose that he wants to. What we have to be concerned about is we don't get all worked up about who does what, or whether I get to or not. Now listen, trust me, this is much easier to say than it is to do. Otherwise, everybody would do it. There would be no issues in churches. There'd be no divisions in churches because we all just would simply understand, hey, I'm going to do what it is that God wants me to do. It's not an easy thing. This is why we have to be so aware of how these things operate, why they do, and how they should not. All of those things are very important. So Paul says, listen, don't get worked up about that. Now, you've heard me say to you many times, the way things are listed in the Word are always very important. We talked about this with birth order, didn't we? We talked about this with Joseph and with David. Remember, Samuel comes to Jesse's house. He's going to find the first king of Israel, or the king of Israel, after Saul. And he says, bring me your firstborn. Because in biblical times, the firstborn was the one. How many of you are firstborn in here? Got a bunch of us. We're firstborn. Firstborn. In the Bible, it simply meant that if you were the firstborn, it meant that when your family died, when your dad died, you got to be the boss. You were the one in charge. And everything that your dad owned would be passed on to you. So order of things in the Bible is very important, except for this. This is the one place that you're going to see, and Paul says very specifically, it does not matter what you're doing. All that matters is that you're giving the glory to God and understand that it's for the good of the church. It's not about you. So when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, whatever it is that God gives to you, all he says is, do it to the best of your ability. Do it to honor me. Do it to glorify me. And we're going to talk more about that in a couple of minutes. All the gifts are given by God. We've talked about this. And they're given according to his will, which simply means this. It's up to God what it is that you're able to do, and what the purpose of that gift is. And some of these things will begin to seed and to make a little bit more sense as you see the whole picture of what it is we're going to be talking about. But it's so very important that we understand that the gifts of the Spirit are not about us. It's not about the person delivering the gift. As a matter of fact, you are probably the least most important aspect of the whole thing, the giver. The one that actually has the gift. Because the Word tells us that what is the purpose of the gift? It's to bless the people around us. It's to edify and strengthen the church. It's to point people back to God. Those are the important aspects of the gifts. And so this morning what I want to look at is one of the first, and this is in that group of the gifts of revelation, a word of knowledge. That's what we're looking at this morning, the word of knowledge. Here's the definition. I'll give you this first, and then we'll go from there. Here's what a word of knowledge is. It is specific information that a person could not possibly know without God giving that person the information. I'll say that again. A word of knowledge is specific information that a person could not possibly know without God giving that person the information. Now, learned knowledge and a word of knowledge are not the same thing. And here's where so many folks in churches get into a little bit of trouble. It's kind of cool to be able to come up to somebody and say, John, God told me to tell you something. That's kind of cool for me because the other person's thinking, wow, God talks to that guy. That's pretty neat. It's not bad. Got like a direct line here, me and God. Just, how you doing? It's kind of neat. How come I don't get to talk to God that way? And it can make a person feel as if they're somehow superior. That's why Paul warns against that from the very beginning. Do not let yourself think that somehow you're better than someone else if God gives you a gift. But if I go to John and I say, listen, John, I got something I think God wants me to tell you, and in reality, it's information that I already know about John, that's not a word of knowledge. That's my understanding of something. Reason is also not the same thing as a word of knowledge. What does reason mean? Well, you know, I kind of know people and I follow them around. I get to know Dan and I learn things about him and his life. And at some point, you know, I kind of see him doing things or other things. And so I'm concerned about where his life is. If I'm not careful, one way that I could control and manipulate him would be to say, God told me to tell you something. What can you say after that? Is there anything else you can say? When someone starts a sentence with, God told me, where do you go from there? You got nothing else you can say. Can you? How do you fight that? There are a lot of men and women that are involved in things that their whole reason for doing it is, God told me to. And in reality, had nothing to do with God. It was about what they wanted. That's why we have to be so careful about the way we even say these things to one another. Why we have to guard against allowing ourselves to be the focus of what's going on rather than God. And I'll come back to some of those things very specifically in a couple of minutes. So head knowledge is not the same as a word of knowledge from God. It has to be something that there's no way you could know that information unless God gave it to you. The other thing about it is that a word of knowledge is not the same thing as a word of wisdom, although they sound very similar, don't they? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, aren't you kind of splitting hairs there? A word of knowledge gives us facts about a situation. A word of wisdom tells us how to deal with that situation. That's the difference between those two. A word of knowledge are the facts of a situation. A word of wisdom is how do I deal with that situation. You say, Pastor Dave, you're being pretty literal and specific here, aren't you? You have to be with these gifts because it's so easy for them to be distorted. It's so easy for them to be turned into something that God has not intended. Because not only does God give the gift, but guess who else is also aware of those gifts? Satan is. He knows that churches that are operating in the power of the gifts of the Spirit is going to be a church that's vibrant and alive and making an impact in a community. He wants nothing more than to take those gifts and to skew them, and to actually, the easiest way to do that is to make the person that has the gift feel like that they're more important than they actually are. And in reality, we're the least important of all of it. You've heard me talk from this pulpit so many times about pride and about humility. Can I just encourage us to always be asking God for that, what I call a cloak of humility? If we put that cloak on every day of humility and just say, God, everything I am is because of you, Satan's door to us is going to be shut in a way that's going to allow us to be able to focus so much more on the things of God. Let me give you a couple of examples of the word of knowledge in the Bible, because I think this will help you to get a better idea of what it actually means. In Daniel, the second chapter, we read the story about Daniel, who is in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a pretty smart king. He was the guy that was the king over Babylon, as you read through the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the first guys to figure out that when a nation conquered another nation, rather than wipe everybody out and burn everything to the ground, which is basically what they did, they would go in, if my kingdom conquered your kingdom, I got to kill everybody, take a few things that I like, and then we burn the rest of it. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the first to figure out, you know what? If I take the best people out of that culture, brainwash them, train them to think like we do and to live in our culture, we're going to be able to add good people to our number. It'd be like the Phillies getting a lot of really good players. I know, seriously, that's how I feel. Dave's kind of looking at me like, are you serious? I'm going, it's just the best thing I could think of. Ain't going to happen, but all right, nothing. But Nebuchadnezzar figured out, if I don't kill everybody, if I take the best men, young men and young women, and I bring them and make them a part of my culture, we're going to be better for it. And that's what he did. He took Daniel, remember his three buddies, the guys that became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream one night, and he brought all of his seers and his magicians in from his court, and he said, okay, boys, here we go. I need to know the answer to this dream. I need to know what it means. But, little caveat here, I'm not telling you the dream. You got to tell me the dream. What did I dream? And then interpret it. Of course, the magicians are going, King, live forever. We don't want to die. But how are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to know what you dreamt? Just tell us the dream and we'll give you the answer. He said, no. Daniel heard about this, and of course he came to Nebuchadnezzar and said, King, I worship a God that can reveal that dream to me. And that's exactly what happened. Daniel interpreted that dream through a word of knowledge. There was no way that he could obviously have known what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed unless God told him. And then on top of that, what did that dream mean? God was the one that revealed that to him. You also see that with Joseph. Remember when he went before Pharaoh and interpreted the dreams that Pharaoh had? Same thing. That's a word of knowledge that God gave him. As you go into the New Testament, there are also a lot of examples of this. In Acts, the 10th chapter, Simon Peter, the apostle, receives a dream or a vision from God that told him that three men were going to be coming to find him, and it was okay to go with them. God revealed that information to him. There was no way Peter could have known that. Jesus demonstrated words of knowledge to his disciples. If you remember, at the time when Jesus was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, he was going to ride in on the donkey. And he told two of his disciples, I want you to go into town. You're going to find a donkey, a young colt tied up. Nobody's ever ridden this thing before. Tell them the master has need of it. Jesus saw the donkey there. He knew because his father had given him that knowledge. Peter also is involved in another one that's kind of interesting because it wasn't a very good outcome, and yet God gave him the information to know this. There's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. A man and a woman that were fairly wealthy, they owned some land. And they said, okay, church, we're going to sell this land and we're going to give you all the money. Thing was is that their heart really wasn't doing that because they loved God. They were doing it because they wanted recognition. And so they sold it, and Ananias comes and he gives Peter the money, and Peter says to him, so this is all the money, right? He said, yes, it is. Peter said, no, it's not. God revealed to him that he was holding money back for himself and lying about what he was going to do. God took his life. His wife came in. He said to her, is this all the money? She said, absolutely. He said, no, it's not, because God revealed that to him. A word of knowledge is given by God to enable us to be able to encourage one another, enable us to be able to speak into each other's lives, and to enable us to be able to show the glory of God. So how do these things come to us? Well, they come in a number of different ways, and this is where I want to begin to encourage some of you to begin to ask God to reveal if this is a gift that he's given you. Remember last week we talked about why the gifts don't operate in some churches, and one of the reasons is because nobody asked for them. We need to ask God for these things. Say, Pastor Dave, I don't know if I want to ask for these things. I don't know if I want to be jumping up and talking in a language that I can't even understand. That's not to say that that's what's going to happen. God will give the gift that's right for you, for what he's called you to do. But to begin to see that, I think through some of our lives, there have been times when God's been telling us things that we've missed because we haven't understood that it's his voice that's giving us these things. One of the ways that a gift of knowledge comes to somebody is through a physical aspect. You ever had an ache or a pain in your body that made absolutely no sense whatsoever? No sense. I'd like to make some of my aches and pains about this, but I'm talking about, you know, not things that are a part of you. So you just, all of a sudden, your arm starts hurting. You say, why is my arm hurting, right? I didn't do anything. I didn't bang it. Rather than just dismiss it, say, God, are you showing me that I need to be praying for somebody that has a hurt arm? Or there's an eye, my eye's twitching, I can't understand it, or it's aching. Should I be praying for somebody right now about their eye or about their arm? You say, Pastor Dave, I don't even know who that person would be. You don't need to be. God knows who it is. All he wants to do is for you to become a part of the process of praying for them. And he'll use us in that way. Now, most times people aren't going to know about that. This is not something where you come up to somebody and say, my eye hurts, does your eye hurt? Many times, that's just a quiet thing that God wants to do. But he's giving you information to be able to pray. You say, man, my knee is really bugging. I don't have knee problems. I don't have no arthritis, nothing like that. You say, well, Father, if there's somebody right now that's dealing with a knee, would you just touch them and bring healing? Now, you have to use common sense with this. Can I tell you that? You need to use common sense. If you get a chest pain with numbness in your arm, you need to call 911. You need to be smart about these things. God doesn't tell us to put our brains away. But he does tell us to be sensitive to his movement in our lives. So it may be something physical. And these things also have to be very specific. Can I also tell you that? There are a number of people that have abused this gift by using very general statements. I've sat in some services like this, where the person will say, you know, is there anybody in here that just doesn't feel well? Well, if I were to say that to you, how many hands would go up? Yes, that's me. You have a word of knowledge for me. Thank you. No, it's not a general thing like that. God was always, Jesus especially, was very specific with people when he brought healing to their lives. Was very specific with words of knowledge anytime he gave them to him. You remember when Saul became, well, on the road to Damascus. This is the Saul became Paul, not King Saul. Saul's on the road to Damascus. What happens? He comes in contact with Jesus, and what did Jesus do? Struck him blind. Remember? He's blind. He's getting led down to Damascus, and in the meantime, God is giving words of knowledge. He tells Ananias, a righteous man in the city of Damascus, listen, Saul's here, and I want you to go pray for him, and he's expecting you to get there, so don't be afraid. In the meantime, and I think we miss this many times, Saul gets his first word of knowledge, because the Bible says that God told Saul, this guy's going to come for you, and he's going to pray for you. God always does things in completion and perfection, but he's specific about the things. So if someone comes to you and you hear somebody talking and it's very general, be careful. Because there are many times when that kind of a person is really just trying to look like that they've got something going on that somebody else doesn't have. And we always need to be cautious about these things, and I'll tell you more about that. Another way people often will feel these things is through empathy, an empathetic feeling. I'm going along and everything's fine, and all of a sudden, whew, I just feel like there's such a heaviness that comes over me, and I don't understand this. This doesn't happen to me normally. I'm a pretty happy person. There's nothing going on in my life that would bring this, but there's just a heaviness that comes over me. That could be God speaking to you about someone that needs prayer in that way. Maybe somebody very specific. I've talked to many Christians who have this gift, and they said, you know, I looked at somebody and I could just see weariness all over them. I could just see sadness as a part of them. Can I encourage you that God very well may be saying, hey, look, go and minister to that person. Just pray for them. You don't have to have answers. You don't have to try to find out every single detail. Just pray for them. I really just sense a real heaviness in your heart. Can I pray for you? You'll be amazed at how many times God will allow you to be a part of something like that. We also receive words of knowledge in our mind. When we're reading the word, when we're praying, many times God will speak to us when we pray about these types of things. But again, the caution is always that it's always about him. It's always about asking God, Lord, is this something of you or is it my own mind? Is it my own thinking? Is it my own reasoning? And he'll tell you. And then the last thing then is that often we get a spiritual intuition about things. It's just, you've heard people talk about, I just know that I know. You ever heard that phrase? It's in my knower, some people call it. Now, that's a tough one because it's very hard to explain. It's hard for people to understand where that comes from. But these are all different ways that God will often bring words of knowledge to someone's mind and to someone's heart. Now, the last thing I want to share with you before I stop, and I was going to save this for next week, but I think it's important that you hear it now because this is an important element of covering all of this together, because you need to understand what a word of knowledge must always be and what a word of knowledge can never be. Does that make sense? Got some things I want you to understand. This is what, if it's a true word of knowledge from God, it has to always be one of these things. Here's the things, and they're very important. Number one, it must always be in alignment and supported by Scripture. Always. God will never give a word of knowledge that contradicts himself. Ever. Never. Always has to align with Scripture. A word of knowledge must always point people to God. Always has to point them to him. Because if that word is pointing them to themselves, it's not a word of knowledge from God. It's something about themselves. This is why whenever I've talked and counseled with people who have this gift, one of the things I always tell them is, never say, God told me. Never say that. Say, Pastor Dave, I've always said God told me. Can I encourage you, caution you against that? Because like I said before, once you say God told me, what does that do to them? Okay, what? It's God. Just go ahead, tell me. And can I tell you that we often make mistakes with these things? That we're not all perfect? That we don't always hear the word perfectly from God? That it gets transferred through our man filter and comes out kind of skewed if we're not careful? So that's why whenever a word is shared, what I always tell people is, when you share this with them, tell them, I want to submit something to you that I felt like God impressed on my spirit. Can I encourage you that that's the right way to approach that? If you feel like you've got a word for somebody that you feel like God put into your spirit, let me just share something with it I feel like God gave me. Never statements of this is what it is or this is what it is not. Never speaking in absolutes about those things. The third thing then, a word of knowledge must always give credit or honor to God. Not only do you point people to God, but he's the one that gets the credit. Once again, if anybody ever gives a word and ever leaves the impression that somehow it was them that came up with this, that's not from God. That's not from him. God never takes the credit away from himself. It always points back to him. Next thing then, it has to always be delivered and operate in humility. Always has to be in humility. And right along with that, it also always has to invite the word to be tested. This is something that the Bible says several times. Anytime you have a word of knowledge, anytime you have any of these gifts, they always have to be tested. What does that mean? Simply this. If it doesn't line up with the word, it's not of God. If other people who have the same gift are going, I'm not so sure about that, you need to be cautious about it. Why? Because Satan wants to come and to bring counterfeit for everything that God does. He always brings counterfeit. We always need to be guarding, always need to be careful of those things. So it always is supported by Scripture. It always points people to God. It always gives him the glory and honor. It always is in humility, and it always invites itself to be tested. Always tested. Now, let me just tell you real quick the things that a word of knowledge is never. It is never this. It never removes the possibility for error. We can get it wrong. I've had words given to me that I thanked that person profusely and said, I appreciate this. Thank you for sharing that. And I turned around and walked away and went, come on. What in the world were they? Was that a pepperoni pizza you had? Or what was that, the kid that's stirring in you? Now, I'm not making light of those people. But what I am saying is that people will, in all honesty and real sincerity and a desire to do something that God wants them to do, give something that is completely off base. That's okay. You know, this is a place where we want to have mercy and grace for those kinds of things. You know, it's okay to make a mistake. It's all right to be wrong. We still love one another. God still loves us. Loves us when we take a chance. Loves us when we want to step out and to maybe do something that we've never done before. I'm in a place I've never been. God says, come on, kid, just give it a try. Try it once. God's pressed this on my heart. Daniel, I want to just share something. You take it before God and ask him if it's true. That's the right heart to give a word of knowledge. And so it is never without possibility that, listen, I'm just telling you what I think God told me and or shared with me, and you decide if it's right. The next thing that it never does, it never declares itself to be the final word or authority. No man is the final authority on anything. God is the final authority. God may be using us to share something with someone, but he's the ultimate authority. So if somebody gives you a word and says, this is what you will do, you say, no, I'm going to pray about that and see if that's what God wants me to do. I always have to be careful, all right? Couple more. A word of knowledge never brings fear. It should never bring fear. God does not bring fear. God does not bring a spirit of fear. God always brings encouragement and hope. And I'm going to read for you again something I read at the end of the last service about why we have these gifts, and one of those things is to encourage. Words of knowledge should encourage the people that you give them to. It should never point anyone away from God to another answer. A word of knowledge never says, hey, listen, let me share something, and you know, if you come over here and you do this, or if you try this over here, that'll be the answer to your problem, or I'm the answer to your problem. I had to, wow, I hadn't thought about this in a long time. I used to be a single adult pastor at a church a number of years ago for single adults. And you wouldn't believe the ones that came to me and said, you know, I have a word from God that so-and-so is going to be my mate or going to be my husband or my wife. I'm not saying that cannot happen, but boy, that's not normally what takes place. God doesn't normally do things that way. But when we are pointing people to God, That's the purpose of a word of knowledge, is to say your answer, whatever it is you're dealing with, or maybe God gives me something very specific and says, listen, this thing you're dealing with, God is your answer. That's what the word of knowledge is for. And then the last thing that a word never does is that it never demands that it be heard. It never demands the attention on itself. Because a church is about order, folks. And I can promise you that at Remnant Life Church, and some, I've been to churches like this where people just sort of jumped up in the middle of service and started talking or started doing, no, that's not the way things are supposed to operate in a church. Bible says there's order in the church. I'm going to give you an outlet if you have a word of knowledge during the service. I want to tell you what you can do. But it never is interruptive. Why? Because that takes the attention off of God and puts it on the person. That's always the case. Everything gets reflected back to him. I read this at the end of the service last week, and I want to read it again. This is written by Perry Stone from the Code of the Holy Spirit. It says this, when desiring a spiritual gift, we must keep in mind that the gift is not given to show we are more superior to others, more spiritual, certainly must not be operated with pride. The gifts are for the edification, the exhortation, the comfort of the church, to assist in ministering to the unsaved, revealing the living God. My friends, all of these gifts are given to us by God in order to glorify him. They're given to us to encourage one another. And they're given so that people that don't know him can see the power of God. When we begin to operate in those things, and there's so much more, obviously, that we could be talking about this morning with this. But what I want us to know is each and every one of us has the ability to be able to be used of God in this way. See, Pastor Dave, I've never had that happen in my life once. This may be the time. Maybe it was waiting for you to come and to learn more about it so that you could operate in it in a way that you would say, okay, God, this is what I want to do. Show me how to do it. Every one of us in here are called to operate in these gifts. And as we go on in the weeks to come, you may hear me begin to talk about something that really stirs in your spirit. That could be the very first signs of God saying, here's a gift I want you to operate in. And we're going to have a place here for that to be able to happen. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. You know, church can be fun. It's okay to have fun at church. It's all right to be excited about the things that God's doing. That's why the gifts are there, to be able to do that to the fullness, to his glory. Well, Father, I just pray that you would seed these things into our hearts. God, I know for many folks, it's first time hearing about some of these things. Father, you're going to continue to teach. You're going to continue to show us. And with this particular gift, the word of knowledge, Father, you use this in order to allow us to be able to minister to one another. You use this gift in order to encourage sometimes. Lord, you even use this gift to help to expose. Lord, there have been so many times where people who have had these hidden, dark, troubling times in their lives that no one knows about, and you'll use a brother or a sister to come and to say, listen, I believe God wants to heal you and minister to you in this way. Father, let us be that. Allow us, Father, to be able to come to that place of asking, Lord, work through me. Do whatever you need to do. Give me whatever gift, Father, that it is you desire for me to walk in. And Father, I will be careful. I will be sure to give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for each and every person, every man, woman, and child. Be with us as we leave. Protect us, God, if the weather gets bad. Just watch over everyone on the road, all of our loved ones that might be driving today. And we give you all the glory and honor for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen.